So a couple things. One is if you guys are available, we had some folks that started off this course with kind of the agreement that they would just help set up and tear down and stuff, and for whatever reason they're not here anymore, which leads a huge load on just a few people. So if some of you guys are available, just to we've got to take these tables down and move chairs and all that stuff. There's a church that meets in here on Sunday morning, so we want to. It'll get done without you, but boy, it'd be nice if we could do it quicker and easier. Also, there's been some question on some of the homework stuff. The best thing to do for us is easiest is just send it right to the soulcareocala at Gmail email address. If you just send it there, send your stuff there. We'll read it. Joe gets that. He's the one that kind of monitors that, and then he sends stuff to me. But everything I've seen is just you guys are doing great work in there. So anyhow, thank you for doing that. What else was I supposed to say, Joe?
Scan it, take a picture of it with your phone, send it,
yeah,
whatever's easiest.
Yeah. Yeah. Any of those things work. All right, so we're moving from addiction to the little people that cause addictions in our lives.
No excuse.
Doesn't have to be nice to be true, though. All right, so child discipline that disciples. Now, most of us would agree that we want well-behaved, respectful, responsible children, but oftentimes we find ourselves with rebellious, disrespectful, and irresponsible kids. And so the question that we're trying to answer here is how will you counsel those parents that come to you, who honestly they're very embarrassed, right? They're ashamed, they're discouraged, they feel like there's no hope, and they come to you maybe formally for counseling, and if it's formally for counseling, what they usually want you to do is counsel their kid. Okay, my kid needs counseling, and you need to do it. And honestly, that's because the school has told them that. All right. In reality, and I think I say this later in my talk, but I'm trying to think what year I was certified. I was certified in 2009, so 14 years. I've been doing this for 14 years now. I would be willing to bet that I've met maybe with three kids over that 14 years. And every time I meet with a kid, they are so well behaved. They are not what their parents said they were. At all, every time. And so it's typically a parenting issue. So I work with parents more than I work with kids, by far. The kid will never even come in, most of the time. They'll never even come in. And usually around like third or fourth session, they'll say, shouldn't my kid be in here too? And I'll say, no. You guys are the parents. You can do this. And so it's a completely different view than what our schools are doing, which are saying send them to the doctor, and then most of the kids are end up getting medicated for it. So at any rate, that's the direction we're going, and it usually has to do with discipline. So we're talking about child discipline that disciples. And how will you do that? And so it's cool, though, to talk to these parents and hear how they're changing in all of this. And so let's just get this broad overview again, and then we'll dig into the weeds. So number one, biblical parenting should be viewed as disciple-making. Okay, you are making disciples. And so the goal of discipline, then, is you want to make long-time learners and followers of Jesus, okay? In other words, not just to be good when they're at home. And so the scriptures teaches, number two, discipline while there is hope. discipline while there is hope. I was listening to Jimmy Johnson's book, Swagger, on Audible a couple weeks ago. Listen, don't listen to it. It's terrible. Language is awful in it. It's just interesting, you know, just I'm kind of a sports guy. But I really appreciate why he quit coaching. And a lot of times you'll see that he's actually at his home when everybody else is in the studio. And he lives in the Keys. He's in the studio or he's at home. Everybody else is in the studio in Los Angeles. Well, how does he get away with that? He said that his mom died. He was never went to funerals or anything else, and he was at her funeral service, the open casket, and he looked down, you know, his mom just lying there. And he said, if you ask my kids, what did your family dinners look like at home? He said, my kids would tell you not one time, them growing up in our home, did we ever eat dinner together as a family. And he was that committed to his trade. And there he is looking at his mom in the casket. And then Wayne Huizinga, the coach for the owner of the Dolphins, somehow communicated. I don't remember exactly how he said it, but QTL, quality time left. He said, Jimmy, do you really want to spend the quality time that you have left of your life getting these grown men to do what they don't want to do? Right? Drive, and then losing your family. Got divorced during the time and everything else. And so he said, listen, Fox, if you guys want me on your morning program, I got to do it from the Keys. You know, so he spends time with his family. It's a great story with his sons now. I mean, things are good. But I was telling Sherry, I was like, you know, so, I mean, quality time left. You figure your last couple years, like if you just grow into old age, and then probably your last 2-3 years are probably not your best quality time left, right? So for us, like if I live to 70, I got 14 years of quality time left. 80, then I got 24. What do you want? How do you want to invest those years? And so, you know, discipline them while there is hope. Like, utilize these years. Josh and I were talking about it, and he was talking about River. How old's River now? 10. He said, I got 8 years. Because we'll all tell you, once they leave home, it changes, right? It just changes. Not that you don't have quality time in there, but it changes. And so discipline while there's hope. Why do most people not want to discipline? Because it's hard, right? We don't want to hurt feelings. We don't want to, but do it while there's hope. And so we discipline, spiritual growth of a believer is a process that involves discipline. So discipline is establishing expectations, establishing standards, and then enforcing those expectations and having consequences when they're not met. Like, that's discipline. And the spiritual growth of a believer is a process that involves discipline. In other words, this is what God does to us. He disciplines us. So discipline isn't just a parent-child issue. It's a Christian growth issue, and we're all involved in that. Discipline, the Greek word is paideia, denotes training that includes both instruction and chastening. What's chastening? Chastising. Yeah, what is that? Discipline. What is that?
Correct.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. Yeah. Yeah. Number five. God disciplines his children for strategic purposes. Listen, there's a bunch of verses on your thing. We're not going to go through them because we just don't have the time. But there's a bunch. When you're going to be counseling parents, then you need to make sure to know these well. And God's very predictable, isn't he? He blesses righteousness and disciplines sin. Number seven, or six, God instructs parents to discipline their children for strategic purposes. So if God's going to discipline us, then we should, as parents, also discipline them. Number seven, corrective discipline then can take several forms. And that's what we're gonna dig into here. Okay, what are the forms that corrective discipline takes? Well, the first is experiencing logical consequences of behavior. You might use the word natural consequences. I like natural. Some sins have natural consequences, and when they do, you don't have to do anything. You get to be the good guy. Man, that stinks for you. Right? But I'm going to walk with you through this time. So sometimes there's just natural or logical consequences of behavior. Sometimes it's just reaping the fruit of sin. It's just sowing and reaping. Listen, don't say I told you so. That's a good way to provoke your children to anger. Yeah, sowing and reaping. You planted that seed. You watered it. Now look what you got. Receiving additional work. This is one of my favorites. Now, some kids think that regular, normal household chores are discipline. They are not discipline. Okay, it's responsibility. Additional work, though, can definitely be used as discipline. I remember our pastor, he had his sons do all of the weed eating. But you think, oh, that's not a huge deal. That was a huge deal because he made them use scissors. I think it's brilliant. I mean, it depends on how big of a yard you have. But what did they have? They probably had a couple acres, didn't they? Yeah, they had. Yeah, it wasn't done in a day. Additional work. Definitely use that as discipline. By the way, I like to do with my kids, if the two of them are fighting, they have to work, but they have to work together. Next one, D, losing privileges and rewards. Losing privileges and rewards, Deuteronomy 28, it's a key passage for that. It's okay to say, listen, you're not going to be able to spend the night at your friend's house. You're not going to be able to go to youth group tonight. You're not going to be able, whatever that is, right? Don't feel bad that you have to say that. It needs to hurt a bit, right? I mean, when do we learn our biggest lessons? Yeah, from failure, when we do really stupid things. And then the result of the stupid things are like, man, I don't get to do this or that now. Well, same can be true for your kids. E, feeling the rod of man. Yeah. Now, when I do this in a parenting class, we actually pull up Florida statutes and everything else on here. Just know that there are some that has to hurt really bad before they'll change. Yeah. And discipline is normal. Like we incorporate it into all of life, right? Teachers discipline. How do teachers use discipline? Different than when I was growing up, by the way. Yeah, when I was growing up, teachers discipline, they make you write on a chalkboard or write, you know, 500 times, I will not, whatever. But they also spanked kids when I was there. And if you had a spanking, and if you got spanked at school, you can be spanked at home too. Today they'll call it abuse, right? And honestly, I mean, if you think about it, do you really want a teacher spanking your kid? I don't think so. But we've taken some of that out of them, right? We've taken some authority out. So now there's no real fear of authority. So that we're sowing and reaping a bit. Yeah, Alan.
Now they have professional AWD.
AWD?
Yeah,
that won't record there. Janky's got her glasses on just so she doesn't have to be associated with Alan. Listen, we know. how do teachers discipline today? What do they have in their, as a tool?
They don't get to go outside.
See the principal, but then the principal
They lose their free time outside. Silent lunch.
Yeah. And the teachers will do that? Well, I think it's normal. Like, I don't know if you're allowed to have your cell phone or not. Yeah. But, I mean, if you think about it, we've taken away authority. There's no fear of teachers. With the shooting, I read this morning, Sheriff Billy Woods, there, I guess he was interviewed. What do you think needs to be done? He said, I don't know. All I know is there's no accountability for these kids. And he said the school system has failed them, and you know, the families failed them and everything else. It's just awful. So we've taken the rod away, right? Teachers, how do coaches discipline? Extra laps, right? Laps, push-ups, whatever. Sit on the bench, yeah. How do youth leaders discipline? Can't go on that trip, right? Yeah. Yeah. How about employers? How do your employers discipline?
Time off without pay.
Oh, yeah, good. Time off without pay. What else? Yeah.
Firing.
Probation, firing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. So you see how discipline is woven into society to bring about good results, right? Have you no fear of authority?
They're taking away from businesses now too.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, especially with all of the to fire somebody, man, it's like an act of Congress anymore. We'll go to Rebecca and then we'll back to Amy.
And there was a difference in what you got when you made the phone call. When I called John's mother on a Friday afternoon and told her how he'd been behaving that week, it was the first week of school, she said, I am so glad you called me. You will have a new child on Monday. And I did. And then there was the girl whose mother I called, and the response I got was, why you people be calling me?
Yeah. That's the norm. Yeah.
And
Amy.
And that's about what I was going to say. The teachers, even though they can't faint, and you know, they might send the note home or do something, and if it's not backed up at home, it doesn't make sense. And the kids know that.
Yeah. This couple we talked to the other day, your son has expelled because he had a knife in school, and the parents said, it was just a knife. Said the same thing about a gun. It was just a gun. It was the first time. It's almost like the drunk driver, right? It's like, it's not that you don't know, right? It's, yeah, you don't care. All right, I'm going to keep moving on. It's a whole different world. When I was in high school, I grew up in Clearwater, so we had guns in the back of the trucks. That was normal. That was in Clearwater. Ain't nobody hunting in Clearwater. You know? But that was the norm.
Florida.
All right. Okay, number eight. F, you're receiving appropriate punishment. Right? Punishment has to fit the crime. Make sure it's appropriate. Now let's talk about, because the most controversial is the use of the rod. So let's talk about that. A is give clear instruction. Eye contact is very important here. B, provide one warning only. No counting. Listen, that's important because here's what parents do. Okay, come here right now. Okay, one, two, two and a half, two and three quarters, two and seven eighths, two and 15 sixteenths. Don't make me go higher than that, right? Here's what we're teaching them, we're doing that. We're teaching them that you don't have to obey God the first time he speaks. Right? When do you want them to obey God? When God gets to 2 and 15 sixteenths? No, first time. Okay, so give clear instruction, provide one warning only. And listen, no empty threats either, no empty warnings. If you're gonna say, hey, if you do this, then this is gonna happen, then that has to happen. And if it was irresponsible of you to say that, then you need to say, I am so sorry, that was wrong. I was responding in anger. That's not gonna happen, but this is gonna happen. Okay. C, discipline the child alone. We had a family in our neighborhood that would spank their sons in the driveway with their friends around. They would actually call the friends to come and watch them get spanked. Yeah. Of course, it was fun for us, but terrible for them. Man, we dogged those boys too, you know, afterwards. But D, explain the spiritual issues involved. E, express personal grief. Now, what do you mean by that? Yeah.
It's going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
Yeah. Just in a different place. That's all. But listen, discipline should not be enjoyable. Right? You shouldn't, like, love it. F, use a neutral object. And spank until he cries softly and repentantly. Neutral object. Don't use your hands. And the reason you don't use your hands is because you want these to be for loving and caring. You don't want to like do like this to your kid, you know, getting, you know, something at Walmart and I'm going, right? Ducking is use a neutral object. We would have a spoon, a spanking spoon. Betty Crocker. I've heard people use like the dowel rod, the rods off of the
trees.
the blinds or that, or a switch off of a, yeah, go, you know, you had to pick your own switch and yeah, I never had to do that. But
my daughter said, remember when you broke the spoon?
Yeah. Peter probably needed that spoon broken on him. But in doing this, now listen, a rebellious scream or fighting is cause for additional discipline. And we're going to get to a verse here. Actually, we can do it now. Proverbs 12. Go to Proverbs 12 real quick. Proverbs 12, look at verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is, what's it say? Stupid. Yeah. We don't use that word stupid in our home. It is a biblical word. Yeah. 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 Of course, Alan's donkey word was biblical too, but... Um, But a rebellious scream or fight, like that's cause for additional discipline. Use enough force and SWAT to accomplish training.
Can you give an example of that? Like yeah. SWAT, you're spanking and then they're slamming doors as they're walking away or?
Oh yeah, no, they're in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
What additional do you do? Spank again?
No, not necessarily spank again.
Okay.
Because you could really get into abuse then, but right. But the other things we talked about, rewards. Okay. I'm typically really calm. I'll just say, you know, something like that. I'll say, oh, well, looks like you're not going to whatever. And they'll say, but Dad. And I'll say, okay, not that either. And then, oh, okay, I got to chill. Right. Yeah. Of course, our kids probably love that. Okay. Yeah, but in our house, we would say, and we're not spanking our kids anymore. Not that we can't. We could still. But I mean, they're too old now. But we would say, when we spank, we'd say, you know, if he's, okay, that's one, right? One meant three. It was boom, 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 right? And so you want two? And it was Christina, our sweet Christina. She was really little. Boy, that girl, she was stubborn though. And when she was little, okay, that's two. And then she kept. I don't remember what she was doing. Well, that's three, which meant nine. Right. Well, that's four then. Maria goes, "He's gonna kill her. He's gonna kill her." And so what I do with that is the first one is hard. Harder, and then I never hit in that same exact spot with that kind of force. Is even if it's 15, boom, the hard one, and then right, go around. So, but I bet we never spanked her after that. Right, never again after that. So, to accomplish the training, the next one: use the Word of God. Don't just talk about it. The Bible says. Sorry. G. Did I? Okay. Okay. Well, I've got. Sorry.
The same parent who disciplines teaches and
comforts. The same parent who disciplines teaches and comforts later. Okay. In other words, because what's going to happen? Like if dad spanks, so dad disciplines. And they run to mom, and mom's like, oh, poor little baby. Now they're going to use that against you, okay? So you need to make sure if you're the one that disciplines, you're also the one that comforts. All right, next one.
It says later because you're not doing that immediately.
Yeah, I don't typically do it. Let them marinate in it for a few minutes.
I think sometimes, though, that can depend on the moment. I mean, because sometimes mm-hmm. there's...
Yeah, that's true.
There have been times like, you know, you feel like you're beating your child, but like they immediately will want that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Of, yeah. That you're loved.
Yeah. Like, that we're good.
We haven't broken.
Yeah. Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, great point. Great point.
But, you know, I used to resent that because I never grew up in a Christian home, but I got to be when I look back, I was a rebellious kid. Like, I got beaten from my teacher, and then he would kill my parents. My mom would beat me, my dad. Mm. And like, I resented, you know, after years. But after when I look back, you know, I say, you know what? I deserve the beating.
Mm. Mom. Yeah, Amy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure that we got disciplined. I share with my girls that we were disciplined as you know, children as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. Right. It's good when done well. But just done in anger and. You know, smack them in the back seat as they're, you know, like that. That's not good. You know, yeah, and we've, yeah, don't make me pull this car over. Don't make me, yeah. And I would say we've done that. I don't know. I've done that. I don't know that Sherry's done that. But H, help the child to clear his conscience. In other words, if they've wronged somebody, if they need to be able to have the opportunity to make that right. I, evaluate later. Seek forgiveness when you discipline in uncontrolled anger. Number 9, discipline should be packaged with instruction. And so I think now we're at the A. Yeah, discipline packaged with instruction. Use the word of God, don't just talk about it. Okay. The Bible says, no, open it. That's what it says. Read this. B, focus on both inner man and outer man issues. What do I mean by that? What are inner man and outer man issues? Okay. Inner man's heart, outer is behavior. Yep. And listen, we tend to focus on one more than the other. Right? There's a balance in that. Okay, number 10. Well, cautions on discipline. Some cautions. The first one is do not over-discipline. What happens when you over-discipline? Oh, kids could get used to it. Yeah, yeah. What else? What? Fear? Yeah. 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 Good. What else? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what happened in these 16-year-olds that died. We know of at least one that had run away about a month ago. What kind of image do we give them of God? Yeah. Yeah. We provoke them to anger as well. Be here. Don't under-discipline. When we under-discipline, we enable them. Remember we talked about the difference between enabling and helping. When you enable somebody, you do something for them that they could do for themselves. When you help somebody, you do something for them that they can't do for themselves. Right? Proverbs 29:15 says, a child who gets what he wants brings shame to his mother. Proverbs, I think it's 20:19, it says, correct or discipline them to save their soul from death. I mean, when you think about the long-term ramifications of not disciplining, like, I think it's 19:18, Proverbs 19:18, is you discipline them to save their soul from death. Save their soul from death. That's why we discipline. See here, do not substitute the Bible for worldly methods. Boy, we are so guilty of that. If the Bible tells you the way to do something, don't substitute it for what the world has to offer. Now, there are some other ways to frustrate and embitter your children. Other ways. I have others in mind, but the first one is inconsistency. Inconsistency is hard because it really frustrates and confuses the child. If one day this is wrong and the next day it's not. One day this is discipline, the next day it's not. If they're disciplined for it, but their brother isn't. Right? That can be really frustrating. The next one is favoritism. Favoritism. Listen, you love all your kids, right? But you like some of them more than others at times. Be favoritism. And I would also say that sometimes you can use this as teaching because it's easier. Let me see how I can phrase this. A child experiences the most amount of freedom when they obey authority. Right? So if they're obeying authority, hey, can I go to so-and-so's house? Can I go here? Hey, this trip is being planned. It's easy to say yes. But when you have one who's not obeying authority, why does she get to do this and I don't? So it can be seen as favoritism. But so if you don't explain that well, then they're going to be really angry because it's favoritism. But if you explain it, we trust her. You've proven that we can't trust you at this point. Which brings us to number three, comparison. Why can't you be more like your brother or your sister? Number four, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. You say not to do something, but then you do it. That's no good. Number five, broken promises. And listen, one of the ways I do this, and I have to be careful, Sherry reminds me a lot of times, I like to think or dream out loud. So I might say, wouldn't a cruise be fun? And then we start looking. So where would you like to go? Oh, I think I'd like to go. Oh, let's look. Wow, okay, so 5 days, but if we waited till then we could, it's actually cheaper. Well, in their minds, what are they thinking? We're going on a cruise, right? In my mind, I'm like, yeah, that's too expensive. So listen, Sherry has to tell, because that's what I do. I'm like dreaming out loud, and this will be fun. And oh, what if we did this? My kids take that. We're doing this. So I got to be really careful. Ash will tell you, I dream out loud. We talk about stuff all the time. Yeah. 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 Number six, here's a way to frustrate or embitter your children. Lack of marital harmony. One of the best things you can do for your kids is have a good marriage relationship. And then the last one is selfishness. Speaks for itself, right? I saw this diagram, and I think it just works so well. I think I put it on your thing. But look how it is. So in the responsibility area, and these are ages. At 0-1, you know, the child has very little responsibility, if any, at that point, right? Parent is heavy in responsibility. But as they grow, their responsibility is greater and your responsibility lessens. But what often happens, though, is parents see this and they think they've got, their line goes like this, right? And the child may go a little bit like that. And I tell you this, the other day I met with a family, and I think maybe I've told you about this family, but there's a young man who, he's not a great kid as far as, like, he's disrespectful to his parents a lot of times and stuff like that. But they have really provoked him to anger. And man, it is so tough. They see themselves as, well, until he gets married, and he's 18, until he gets married and moves out of our house, my rules. So he's really frustrated. He has three businesses that he does. At 17 years old, he had three businesses. Has a big redneck truck, like nice big lifted truck, I think an F-250 or something, paid cash for it, $30,000. He pays his cell phone bill, buys a lot of his food because he's out all the time. Anyway, and they were so angry because he didn't wear a collared shirt to church. And in our house, young men wear collared shirts to church. They take their role way too high. And his role, they see that until he leaves our house, he has no say in anything, except they're in all the other areas they're treating him like that. How confusing that is for him. So, yeah, frustrating. So, questions on this at all? Yeah, Alan.
That's really good. I wasn't going to, I just wanted to add something that helped us as parents when we were super young, and maybe it's helpful. I've used it a ton in counseling other parents, mm-hmm. and helping, but all of our kids, like, sometimes it's hard for parents to determine, you know, what's a discipline-worthy offense.
Mm.
You know? And so we used to teach our kids that when we ask what we expect when it comes to obedience is that they obey immediately, exactly, and with the right heart attitude. And I think there's biblical justification each of those. And basically, they could all repeat that. And if any one of those was left out, then you know, that was a discipline-worthy event. And how we would handle it might vary, of course. But and like you said, being consistent about that. So immediately, exactly, and with the right attitude.
Mm. Was so helpful, I like that.
For every one of them.
Yeah.
You know. And then one other thing. I think when parents are consistent in discipline, particularly with the rod, like they know what to expect every time. It's so important.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard for especially young parents to like come to grips with, you know, like, am I really being helpful to my kid?
And mm-hmm.
like the payoff for us was on multiple occasions, you'd be in a, you know, a grocery store or a mall or something, and some, you know, 5-year-old's throwing a tantrum, they're all over the floor or something, mm-hmm. you know, doing their thing. And one of your own little kids goes, man, Dad, They need a
spanking.
You know, and then, and your child is not resenting the fact that they have been spanked and learned the lesson. They're like, that's obviously what that kid needs.
Yeah.
They know, like, man, they get it. And they don't resent you for it as long as there's love along the way.
Yeah. But it's intentional, right? You're very intentional. I remember we had a guy one time, he said, man, your son is so polite. Said he was, you know, Adam shook his hand in church and, you know, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Adam, whatever. And he said, your son is so polite. And I said, that's not by accident. You know, I mean, we would teach him, Adam, this is how to shake a hand. Firm grip, look him in the eyes, tell him your name. Like training that, you know. But it's the same. Our thing when we teach our parenting class, we always say it once, say it clearly, elicit a response, and provide consequences if it doesn't happen, right? So say it once, hey, clean your room. That's clear. Elicit a response. So did you hear me? Right? Because if you don't elicit a response, they'll say, I never heard you. Knowing full well they heard you, but you can't, you know? So yeah, say it once, say it clearly, elicit a response, provide consequences if it doesn't happen. Yeah. Yeah.
Going on. No rules, even. Yeah, sometimes no rules. So if you are counseling parents that will not use that method, how would you handle that?
Honestly, I wouldn't counsel them. It'd be all part of it. But it probably has more to do with their relationship with God. It could be, as you dig in, it might be that they were abused in the past. And that's the last thing they want to do, which you really appreciate as well.
I've heard too that all of the rod verses are not, that's not talking about spanking, that's talking about, you know, gentle.
Yeah. Which is. Yeah, and I mean, then you do a little desert theology, you know, wandering theology. What did God do? Well, they complained, so he killed them.
That's true.
Right? That's not gentle.
Yeah.
Right? And he did it so that as a warning to others so that they wouldn't follow in the same way.
Right.
You know, 1 Corinthians 10 says these things are given as an instruction to us so that we're not foolish like they were. Well, what did they do? Well, they were complaining and they were going against God, so he killed them. Yeah. Or I mean, 40 years. He made them wander for 40 years in the wilderness. That ain't gentle. <You know? laughs>
Proverbs 23:13 says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's obviously not talking about gentle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, it'll be okay.
Right, no. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And think about the area that we've talked about now. I mean, this is two little areas, little, right? Is doctors are advising drugs that are that people are potentially getting addicted to, right? I trust doctors. I do. I'll tell my doctor, anything you tell me, I'll do. I trust you. But there's some contradictory things that are happening, right? And then the school system is hiring these psychologists to say, this is how you should raise your child. That are completely contradictory to the Word of God. These are people we trust. So this has to be our filter for truth. It has to be. If we go against this, then it's sowing and reaping. And boy, it's if you just look at the fruit that's put out there, oh man. And Janky, you hit it well earlier. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow in the sermon of how there's just a lack of the word. Really, it is. And these are in our churches. There's just a lack of the word. Wow. Anyway, I don't want to steal my thunder for tomorrow. Really cool thing. So, all right, let's take a few minutes and then we'll talk about kind of the end result. What happens if they rebel, right?